As the adults are being seated, I want to invite any children of any age, to come forward. And if you want to bring a parent or a friend or grandparent, that's great. We'll gather up here for just a moment. Wow, I'm so glad to see all of you guys coming down. And as you're making your way down, I just want to say how excited I am to be part of your church family. As you may know, this is only my second week here, so I'm brand new, and I'm learning names and learning all about you. So I want to ask you a big favor. Every time you see me for the next little while, maybe for the summer, tell me your name. Every time I see you, come up and say, "Hi, Carol," or "Hi, Miss Carol," or "Pastor Carol," or whatever your parents want you to call me, and tell me your name, and that will help me. That's up to them. I'm happy with anything. Well, you may have heard a couple of minutes ago some words that Miss Erin read that Jesus said. He said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Now, I'm guessing that some of you, maybe not all of you, but I bet some of you are in school or you go somewhere sometimes, or maybe your parents tell you at some point during the day, maybe after lunch, it's time for a nap. Some of you still get a nap. I do sometimes too. Well, they'll say, "Lights out, time to nap." And if you don't sleep, it's just good to rest. Or maybe you're in school and there's a certain time of day when the teacher says, "Okay, everybody, it's time to go outside and play." Well, both of those things, rest and play, are things that God wants us to do. And you know, the truth is, those of us who are grown-ups don't always remember that. It's good for us, too, to take a break and sit down and rest. It's good for us to go outside and play sometimes. So what I want you to do for all the grown-ups in your life is sometimes to say to them, maybe it's time for you to rest, or maybe it's time to go outside and play, and I bet they'll thank you for it, because that's what God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you've always wanted to give us the gift of rest. And we thank you for that. Thank you so much for these beautiful children and the way that they can lead us and set a good example for us. Please allow them to teach us to rest and to play and to enjoy your good creation. We thank you so much and we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends you came with. Back in 2013, I had an opportunity to rest and play for a while. I took a sabbatical. I had the privilege of taking a sabbatical. A lot of you in the jobs that you do don't have an opportunity to take a sabbatical. But it's actually part of our clergy covenant in the United Methodist Church, that after a certain number of full-time years in ministry, a pastor is eligible to take a sabbatical. So I felt like it was a good time for me to do that, to get a little rest. And I had a colleague of mine in the conference who told me that the Lilly Foundation will actually provide grants for pastors who want to take a sabbatical, to allow them to travel a little bit or do some things that they might not be able to afford otherwise, to provide for the church to cover their responsibilities while they're gone. So I did that. I applied for a grant and I got it. I had to design sort of a proposal of what I wanted to do, and these funds from the Lilly Foundation allowed me to go to the island of Iona off of Scotland for 10 days and spend time at the monastery. It was a beautiful, quiet place. It allowed my family and me to go to Yosemite together. Of course, if you remember October of 2013, that's when the government decided to shut down, so we couldn't actually get out of our car, but we could drive through the park and enjoy the... We're going to go back one of these days. It was still a wonderful trip. But in preparation for that sabbatical, I started working with a spiritual director. I still go to see him once a month, and I started seeing him a few months before my sabbatical started. His name is Ben Curtis. He's a professor of religion at Belmont University. And as the sabbatical got closer, I started to share with him some of my anxiety about my sabbatical. Isn't that odd? But I was feeling worried that somehow I was going to squander this time, that there was something I was supposed to accomplish or achieve during this sabbatical, and I was so afraid I wasn't going to do it. I was going to do it wrong somehow. And as I shared all that with him, he looked at me and said, "Carol, what if what you really need is rest?" Oh. And I could feel the emotion welling up and even tears coming to my eyes. Because for the first time in a long time, someone was giving me permission to rest. Someone was inviting me to set aside my work and my responsibilities and just be with God. So one of my questions for you this morning is, when was the last time you really rested? Maybe it was yesterday, Saturday. Maybe some of you have been on a vacation recently and you were really able to set aside all your other responsibilities and just rest. But my guess is you have the same challenge I do. And even on vacation, even on Saturdays, even when it's a day off, you find it hard to rest. And it's been a long time since you did. Well, I want us all this morning to hear these words of Jesus as an invitation to each and every one of us. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is an invitation that God has been issuing to God's people from the very beginning. Way back in the first chapter of Genesis, we have this wonderful, powerful poem or parable about how the world was created in 6 days, and God created the moon and the stars and the plants and the animals and humankind, and working hard and creating for 6 days. And you know, the story could have ended there. The world was created, yay. But the story doesn't end there. There's a seventh day. And on that day, God rested. God sat back and enjoyed the very good creation that God had just finished. And God consecrated that day. And so it's clear in the creation story that rest is not just a gift, it's a given. It is part of the very fabric of creation that we are meant to work and to rest, to work and to set down our work, to do and to be. It gets even stronger in the book of Exodus. God has called out the people of Israel and gives to them the law and is shaping them and their way of life so that how they live will be a sign to all the nations of who God is. And God gives them those 10 commandments that we know, right? We know the 10 commandments. And number 4, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. It's a commandment. You shall rest. So if it's a commandment of God, if even God rested on the seventh day, why don't we? Why is it so hard for you and me? And I say me, and this is something y'all need to know right off the bat. When I'm preaching first and foremost to myself. I am sharing with you how the scriptures of the week have convicted me. And so I'm not good at this either. Why is it that we resist this invitation to rest? Well, it's a huge question. And I want to dig into it much more deeply in the fall. We've been talking about Wednesday night programming and what we're going to do. And I'm going to teach a 6-week Bible study starting on August something, 30th, about Sabbath. 6 weeks of Sabbath. And we're going to have conversation together about this invitation and commandment of God and how we live that out in our world today. Because the way things are right now, it's really hard for us to take a day of Sabbath. But how can we practice resting and stopping and pausing and praying and breathing? So I want to plant that seed now, if you're available to come on Wednesday nights to join me in that conversation. But this morning, we're just able to scratch the surface a little bit, to begin to explore that question of why it's so hard for us. And to get into that, I want to tell you a little story. Both of my kids went to Glendale Elementary School, a wonderful school that's a partial Spanish immersion curriculum. So the kids from kindergarten are learning Spanish as they're learning math and science. And when my son was in kindergarten, he had a group of friends that loved to go to the playground after school. And so a group of us parents would stand around the playground and talk while they played. And I was talking with one of the moms one afternoon, and she was going on and on about how excited she was that her son was learning Spanish. And she said, "But you know, I'm worried a little bit because I want him to learn other languages too. I mean, by the time he gets to middle school, I want him to have more experience with language. And so I'm thinking of getting a French tutor." And I thought, I just want Tate to learn how to tie his shoes right now. But I identified with that. He's learned, by the way, to do that. But I identify with that pressure to make sure your child is succeeding and to make sure they've done all these activities and they have a good resume so that they can get into a good college, right? That's the pressure that's put on us parents and put on students to do all of these things so that some committee in a university somewhere can decide that your child is worthy of entrance into their university. And it's not just students, and it's not just parents, it's all of us. We live in an achieving culture, a striving culture. It's the water that we drink every day. You have to do and do and succeed and achieve. You are what you do. And so we get those emails at 4 o'clock in the morning from our boss, and we got to answer that email because, or if we go on vacation and we don't answer our emails, if we don't keep up with everybody, then we're going to lose and we are less worthy. I think you know what I'm talking about. We all live and breathe in this culture of achievement. And yet this morning we hear Jesus Christ saying to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are carrying heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you." Don't take on the yoke of the culture that will wear you down and beat you down into the ground, trying to get you to achieve and do more and more, and it will never be satisfied. Take my yoke upon you. Let me tell you who you are. That you are not what you do. You are a beloved child of God, not because of what you achieve, not because of your successes, but because you are my creation and I love you. It's not easy to take that yoke because it goes against what we deal with each and every day. Walter Brueggemann has a wonderful book on Sabbath, a very small book, easy to read, and I love the title. It's called Sabbath as Resistance. If we are able, in some way in our daily living, to incorporate these practices of Sabbath, we are putting our lives in Christ's hands and saying, you know, I can stop, I can rest, and God has got me. So what are some of those ways that we can practice Sabbath in our daily living, where we can show to the world around us that our worth and our identity is not in what we do or what we achieve, but in Christ and Christ alone? We're going to talk about some of that on Wednesday nights. Might start with finding a few hours, maybe a Saturday morning up until noon, where you turn your phone off, not just on vibrate, all the way off. It's hard. I find that really hard to do. Or setting a day of the week, if it's a day off, where we really don't check email. That's hard too. Or finding some time to sit down at the table with friends or loved ones or maybe a new friend, a stranger, and eat and take your time and have conversation. Or finding ways to go out in God's creation and play. I really do think our children can help us do that. But if we can incorporate the practice of the Sabbath, I really think can save our lives. So I'd like to begin this morning with just a moment of silence, just a taste of resting in God's presence. That image we heard from the psalm of like a child, a weaned child in his mother's arms, striving for nothing, just resting in God's love. Will you join me in a moment of silence? Our gracious Lord, help us to place your yoke upon us, to receive it once again, reminding us whose we are, and calling us to live life to a different rhythm. Help us to make space and room for you and you alone. And all the burdens and responsibilities and weariness that we carry, you will take upon yourself and give us life. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.